Welcome to the Dayspring Audio Library, the teaching ministry of Pastor Daniel Rehoff. Thanks for joining us. We hope this message will have a powerful impact on your life. So sit back and enjoy today's time in the Word.
Tonight, you have your sheet here on open doors. So tonight is kind of a continuation. It's kind of part two of last week. Last week, we talked about influence and the fact that you're influenced by people. Tonight is kind of a continuation of that. We're kind of dealing with that subject about who influences us and how do we make decisions. And tonight, we're going to talk about open doors. I oftentimes in counseling, I do a lot of counseling. I love to do a lot of counseling. And I'll have people say, well, I feel like God opened a door for me. Well, just because an opportunity or a door of opportunity presents itself and it looks appealing doesn't necessarily mean it's from God, okay? Have you ever had that in your life where you say, oh man, I just know God opened this door for me, or God shut this door for me, and sometimes, you know, maybe you're right, and boy, just a really great opportunity, a door opened or a door closed, you know, but just because we see an opportunity or an open door doesn't always mean it's from God, okay? And we got to be careful, but also sometimes if we see, well, maybe that door does look a little uncertain, I don't know. Just because we feel uncertain about it also doesn't mean that we shouldn't walk through it. You know, sometimes God wants us to go step out in faith, and sometimes there's a door he wants us to go through that doesn't look really clear. Like, man, should I do that or not? But sometimes he wants us to do it. So sometimes the door opens, an opportunity opens, and it's like, yes, 1 + 1 = 2, I'm going to do that. And sometimes it's 1 + 1 = I'm not sure what it equals, and I don't know if I should go through this door or not. And there's a way to kind of figure it out if I should go through the door, but sometimes it's not always clear, and you go through it. You know, and the key really is knowing how to discern if an opportunity is really an open door from God. I just don't, in my life, I don't want to miss any open doors because I was afraid to walk through them. But on the other hand, I have to be very careful that I don't go walking through every open door that's open in my way in life, because if I start walking through every open door I come across, this church is going to be scrambled eggs, and we're going to be all over the place, and we don't know what we believe, and we don't know what we're doing, and we lose our focus. Do you ever know churches that do that? They start off real strong, and then they lose their way, and they lose their focus, and they're involved in so many different things, they don't even know what they're doing. We have strategically and on purpose, and as a matter of discipline, our church really tries to stick to just doing three things. Do you happen to know what those three things are? What is it, church? Yeah, and we got to just stick our guns to that, and that's all we're doing, okay? Otherwise, it's going to be like, oh, we're involved in this, and now we're selling Tupperware, and now we're, you know, it's doing everything. So it's really, really important that you just kind of know what doors to go through, what opportunities should I walk through, which ones does God have his blessings attached to, and remember this too, there's no verse in the Bible that says that only God opens up doors, or only God opens up opportunities for us. The devil can open up a door for you to walk through too, right? I mean, the Bible doesn't say that the devil can't provide an opportunity for you, right? Matter of fact, I think it's the opposite. I think the devil provides a lot of opportunities for us to do things that probably aren't the best. And so whenever it comes to the time of an opportunity, remember, it's not just Jesus that opens up doors or closes doors. Sometimes the devil can get his foot in there too and provide an opportunity. Maybe a great job opened up for me. Well, great, where'd it open? Well, it opened up in this town. Well, that's nice. Is there a church nearby? Well, I don't know, but it's such a great job. I just know it's from the Lord. You know how many times I've heard that in the last 12 and a half years since we started this church? An awful lot of times. And every person that's walked through that door, when I've reached out to them later after they moved, how's it going? Well, I still can't find a church. I have a real hard time believing that God's going to lead you somewhere where there's not a good church. I struggle with that. But it's really great pay. Okay, that's nice. So how can you tell if God is the one opening the door or not? All right, there's probably more things. I got a couple things that I think that will help us decide if God's opening a door. Number one, you can write this down in your notes. Number one, the door that God opens will never contradict his word. The door that God opens will never contradict his word. Many Christians see opportunities to make more money as an open door from God, even though the opportunity means a job that will keep them from regular fellowship or service in their church. However, God's word tells us not to neglect meetings together for worship. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but encouraging one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We don't have an excuse as Christians to move somewhere where we can't attend church, okay? And I realize there's churches in every street corner all around the world. I get it. But that doesn't mean that every church on every street corner is a good church that you ought to be going to. It just doesn't mean it. There's a lot of churches that you know, we wouldn't agree with because of their presentation of the gospel, their works for salvation. I just wouldn't go to it, you know. I'd be very, very, very cautious about it, very particular about what church I go to. I wouldn't just say, well, God will provide. No, God provides you to have brains and common sense. That's what God provides. And maybe it's the devil trying to get you away from a good church. I've known people, unfortunately, that have moved away from this church, not because of disunity or anything, but because of a job, and now they're barely involved in a church. And I frustrate with that, because it's like, that person was here, they were serving, they were teaching, they were involved, you know, they were doing all, they were soul winning, and now they haven't been to church for a year. But they're making good money. Guys, I don't see how Jesus could be in that. I just don't get it. I think the devil just got them out of church. That's what I think. And I've had people do this too, and a lot of times it's been women that have done this. Say, well, I believe that God opened a door for this dating relationship. And it may be a situation where maybe I'm going to be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. But pastor, I'm so-and-so, such-and-such age old, and this may be the last train leaving town, and I want to make sure I don't miss it. And they'll hop on that dating train with some guy that's just not a good fit. But the door was wide open. This was perfect. We're so compatible. We like things. We do this. We have fun together. We laugh together. We have the same, you know, hobbies in mind. You know, everything. Yeah. But is he a Christian? Or yeah, he's a Christian, but does he even go to church like you? I mean, is he involved with stuff like you? You know, take a look at this verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 14. We've heard this verse before, 2 Corinthians 6, 14. It says this. It says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, okay? When it comes to dating, just get this. I believe that a Christian should date a Christian. I think that's 101. That's the beginning. But I also kind of believe this for young people that are looking at dating, or older people. I also believe it's this. I think it's not just saved or unsaved, but I just think it's just unequally yoked together. I think Christians could date other Christians that just aren't on the same page with them, okay? Maybe if a Christian wants to go to the mission field and they date someone who doesn't want to go to the mission field, I just maybe don't believe that's the right thing either. Well, yeah, but we're both saved. Yeah, but if that person keeps you from going to the mission field like you know you're supposed to done since you were a little kid, I just don't think that's right either. Or if that person drags you to the mission field and you don't feel called to the mission field, then don't go either. God will not lead you toward an opportunity that contradicts what he clearly says in his word, nor will he open a door that would require personal compromise or disobedience in order for you to enter. And as human beings, we're prone to sin. We have an excellent way of turning a clear mandate of God completely around and justifying it by our own circumstances. But that's not how God works. If there's a compromise in any way, or we have to bend Scripture to justify our open door, then it is likely not a door that God is opening for us. I would call anything that contradicts his word a temptation rather than an open door from God. God's word clearly says that God will not tempt us. So we have to be very, very cautious about this. If there's something that you've got to twist Scripture to make it work for you, I just don't believe it's an open door. I don't believe it's right. And the times I've done counseling, the years I've done counseling, I've had a lot of people come in and they'll find this obscure verse, and it happens, guys. But pastor, you know that little verse right there? That's my open door. And you're kind of going, what? Where did you find, what are you talking? That was written to the, you know, to the Egyptians 5,000 years ago. Why are you using it first, you know? Or they'll use something that's just totally, you know, contrary to what God says to do. And I think we have to be very, very cautious with that. And if you see an open door, here's what you can do. You can peek through the open door, but you don't have to necessarily go through it. So maybe if you've seen an open door and you're kind of wondering about it, you can maybe look through that open door, so to speak. Well, where does this take me? But you don't have to go through it, okay? There's nothing wrong with looking. There's nothing wrong with peeking. There's nothing wrong with kind of getting an idea for it. But I just really, really be cautious about it, that a door that's opened by God will just never contradict His Word, which the implication there, of course, is that we need to know God's Word, okay? You need to know what this book says. So when it comes to dating, when it comes to anything else, or finances, or where you're going to have a job, you need to understand what this book says about how to raise your family and so forth, okay? So I'd be really careful about that. The second thought I had on this was this. The door that God opens will be accompanied by confirmation. The door that God opens will be accompanied by confirmation. So I believe that there is wisdom in a multitude of counselors. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. So without counsel, your purpose of what you're going to do, it's a disappointment. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established, or those purposes are established. Interesting, guys, can we look at this word right here? Multitude. What does the word multitude mean? It means more than one, okay? Now, in a church, we have one pastor. That's great. That's good. Which tells me what? That's nice you have one pastor, but the verse says you need to get more than one counsel, okay? I would talk to other spiritual people in your church and get counsel on things. How about this verse? Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in a multitude, there's that word again, a multitude of counselors, there's safety. There's a good thing. It's a safe environment when there's a multitude of counselors and there's a multitude of people getting advice. I would get my advice from your pastor. I would get my advice from well-respected people that are grounded in the Scripture in my church. I would get it from people that are living the Christian life. Okay, I just wouldn't get counsel from people outside of that realm. I just, as a Christian, I'd be very, very cautious who I got my counsel from. Our human nature is just to get the counsel that we want to hear, you know? And so sometimes we'll go outside of those bounds. I mean, we're not those bounds, but the idea of who I'd get wisdom from, those multitude of Christian counselors. And we get counsel from some of the most carnally minded people in the church or carnally minded people that you know. It's like, why are you getting life-changing counseling from people that are so messed up in their own lives? Why would you do that? If I was making life decisions or big choices in my life and trying to say, hey, God really opened a door, I would find the most spiritual people I knew, and that's the people I would get my counsel from. I wouldn't get my counsel from, you know, let's say someone that left the church, you know, some disgruntled person that hates this church and they left. I wouldn't go to them for counsel. Why? Because they're disgruntled people. I wouldn't get my advice from people that are just disgruntled. I just wouldn't do it. You only have one life to live. You better make sure you're making the right decisions, okay? Very, very, very counsel or very, very concerned about where you get counsel from. Don't get wisdom from, here's a couple people that are a couple ideas of people that I wrote down. Don't get wisdom or don't get counsel from people that can gain something from your advice. Don't get counsel from people that can gain something from your advice. So, for instance, be very cautious if you go to a car dealer and you ask them, do you think this is a good deal? What do you think the answer is? It's always what? Yes, it's a good deal. Buy it. I've had people do that, you know, come up for counseling. Pastor, I talked to the guy at the car dealership. You know, he seems really honest. And he said that this is a really good deal. I'd just be really cautious. Why don't you talk to someone who has nothing to gain from you? You know, so instead of talking to asking the guy at the car dealership, you know, is this a good deal? Why don't you go talk to someone who's not selling you a car and ask them if it's a good deal? You know, go to Greg Maynard. Greg, you know, you buy cars, you work on cars. Greg, is that a good deal? Yes, no. You know, go online, do some homework, do some research. But not from someone who's going to get gain, you know, from you. Just be very cautious about that. Get neutral counsel on that, okay? How about this? I wouldn't get counsel, I wouldn't try to get wisdom from people that just have an agenda. What do you mean by an agenda? Well, I wouldn't, let's say if you were going to school and you had a liberal professor, and he believes that evolution is true, or doesn't really think creation ever happened. Well, he has an agenda. What's his agenda? His job, that's his agenda, and his agenda is to teach you what he's being paid to teach you. He may not gain something from you, but he definitely has an agenda. So, you know, I wouldn't go to someone like that, let's say, you know, a college professor, and get life advice from them. You know, if there's someone that has an agenda, well, my agenda is to teach secular humanism. Well, I wouldn't get advice from that. I would use a lot of prayer. I'd use a lot of discernment. I would seek a lot of godly counsel from people that I'd consider spiritual in my life. And then I'd believe I'd be able to find out if that door is really open from God. When you go to get that advice, though, guys, I would have my hands like this. You see me over the last 12 and a half years, I use this. Our human tendency, ready? Our natural human tendency is to live life like this. This is how we live life. This is normal. This is how Dan Rehoff lives life. You see what I'm doing? I'm in charge and I'm holding on, okay? But when we go to counsel, Pastor, I really need to talk to you. Don't come into my office like this because you won't hear a thing I'm saying. You need to, before God, say, this is how my hands are, okay? This is how my heart is. This is how my mind is. God, I really want to know if I should go through that door, whatever that door is. If I should take that job, if I should move, if I should buy that car, if I should buy that house, if I should marry this person, if I should invest my, you know, whatever it is. God, is this what you want? And if your hands are like this, and God slams that door through counsel, slam, 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 you have no problem. Oh, well, I asked. Yeah, okay, no, and you go on with life. If your hands are like this, and you seek counsel, you know, what do you think, Pastor? That looks like an open door. No, I wouldn't go through there. Oh, that burns right now. Then you go talk to someone else. You go talk to Tim Young. And Tim, no, I wouldn't do that either. I've never liked Tim Young anyways. You know, and then I'm going to go talk to Pastor Tanny. I've always hated Pastor Tanny, right? Because now it's what? It's your pride is going against the counsel. Yeah. So you got to really, really be careful, you know, because sometimes we're just human beings that saying, you know, what I want, the door is open, right? I've never had someone really say to me, I guess, you know, Pastor, I don't know, there's an open door for me to go live in the deepest, darkest spot of Africa with no food, with no, you know, no electricity. I don't feel called to be a missionary. I don't want to be a missionary. I don't have the gift of missions or teaching. You know, I don't feel like I should go, but I don't know, the door's open. Should I go? I've never heard that. I just don't hear that. It's usually, you know, I found this wonderful deal. You know, I found this wonderful person, and I'm so in love with them. What do you think, Pastor? Don't put me in that spot, right? You know, it's usually not something like I want to serve God. It's usually something that I want. It's something that, you know, something that feeds my flesh is usually where the problem is. Don't do this, too, when you're wondering if there's an open door or not. Don't do this, too, and I'm trying to be very practical about this. Don't say this to yourself. Don't say this to yourself. I felt peace about it. Be very cautious about saying that. We can convince ourselves, I felt peace about it. I feel peace about it. Why do you feel peace about it? Because I'm in control. That's why I feel peace about it. Can we talk for a second? Let's think about something. 2,000 years ago was Palm Sunday, the day Jesus walked into Jerusalem. Monday night comes along. Tuesday comes along. Jesus has dinner with the disciples. After that, he goes for a walk from the upper room all the way down, and he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. Okay, Jesus, fully God, fully man, is there praying. Think, does he pray? Well, I just feel peace about going to the cross. I just felt peace about it. What's happening? What's happening? He doesn't feel peace about going to the cross. And he says what to his heavenly Father? God, if there's a plan B right now, I'd sure like to know plan B. But if there isn't, not my will, but thine be done. You know, it's interesting. You think about it. The victory of the cross, now think, the victory of the cross really was settled when? Well, settled at that moment. His submission to his heavenly Father, as soon as that was totally completed. God, not my will, but yours. Boom. That's in my opinion, that's where like it begins, right? It goes to the cross. But think, if Jesus would have been, because he was fully man, he could have sinned. Technically, I guess, right? I mean, he couldn't, but he could have. He could have said, God, I just don't feel peace about doing this. I would like to do something else. But why was he praying? Why was he sweating drops of blood? It was a struggle. It was a real battle. It wasn't just flippant. Well, whatever. I guess I'm just going to go to the garden and die on the cross tomorrow. Yippee! He didn't feel peace about it. God, if there's another way, if there was anything, he's literally dripping blood. He's under so much stress. That doesn't sound like I had peace about it, okay? It was his submission that got him there. God, I'll go, okay? So be very cautious about saying, I have peace about it. Because the reason is, well, we're not Jesus, but we can deceive ourselves really easily. I felt peace about dating that person. Well, of course you did. Of course, I mean, who wouldn't feel peace? I mean, yeah. I felt peace about taking that job that I make more money. Well, of course you did, because you just envisioned the new boat and the new camper and the lake home. I mean, of course you did. Of course you had peace about it, you know? I had a lady one time, and she said this to me. And this is true. She said, Pastor, I was walking through a car dealership, and I just walked by used car, and I was praying about it, and I just felt peace about this one. And I side note, we had talked before about her budget, and her money was totally screwed up. She didn't have money for a new car. Her budget was just in an absolute shambles. But she told me, I walked to this car dealership, and I prayed over every car. And I got to this one. I just felt peace about it, and I just bought it. Really? Well, what is it? Well, it's a red two-door convertible. You felt peace about the red two-door convertible. Why didn't you feel peace about the four-door station wagon, right? That had better gas mileage, that had a more economic engine, right? Why don't you feel peace about those things? I mean, really, if it was God, I think God would want you to buy, you know, the better deal, the safer car, right? The more family vehicle. But you got a family, you got kids, you're married, and it landed on the two-door red convertible sports coupe. Huh. Just be really cautious about saying, I just felt peace about it, because my heart's desperately wicked, so is your heart. And we can confuse ourselves and deceive ourselves and say, well, I just felt peace. How about this one, too? Be very cautious, too, when you're looking at an open door. Just say, well, I just prayed about it. Well, praying is good, but you have to follow the full counsel of God. And part of the full counsel of God is those verses we just saw that said, seek wisdom in a multitude of counselors. So don't just say, I prayed about it, but you didn't seek counsel. Okay, so if there's an open door, and I'm not talking about, you know, should I buy Pepsi or should I buy Coke? Okay, we're talking about when you're making like a decision that you would say, God opened up a door for me. Be very careful. You say, well, I just prayed about it. Well, I think prayer is good, but I also think reading the Bible is good, and I also think getting counsel with other spiritual Christians is good too. So I wouldn't make a big decision just on praying about it, because we can really convince ourselves. You know, I think about 12 and a half years ago, coming up on 13 years ago in May, my wife and I started this church, and for the year before that, so the prior year before that, almost an entire year, we had prayed about it, because we just felt burdened, and you know, it's one of those things, we still to this day, we just don't know why Waukesha. Someday I'll find out, but it's Waukesha. But now think, we felt a burden, and so true, our hands were like this. It wasn't like, gee, I can't wait to move to Wisconsin. What's in Wisconsin? I know nobody here. I don't know what we're doing up here. I don't know why we're going here. But we prayed about it. We read the Bible about it. But we also sought an awful lot of counsel about it. And we talked to our pastor, Dr. Scudder. And with his full blessing, we came here. Now, had I talked to my pastor, and I remember that phone call, you know, Dr. Scudder, and if he would have said, nah, I just don't think that's your gift set. I don't think you're set for it. I don't think you're ready for it. I don't think it's the right location. Why don't you just not go? Guys, I would have dropped it like a hot potato. I had a good job. My kids were in a Christian school. My wife had a good job. We had a nice home. We were totally fine. We were set, and I'd be happy to retire at Quint Road, and it'd be totally fine. There was no issue. I didn't have to move. But had Pastor Scudder told me, nah, I don't think so. Guys, I wouldn't have gone. I wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be here. Many of you wouldn't be saved. A lot of you would still be engrossed in your addictions, because this church wouldn't be here. This would be a cornfield. You know, I was talking to my wife today about how many kids enrolled in our preschool in the last 3 years we've been here. We've had almost 700 kids enroll since we started our preschool 3 years ago. So 700. 100 kids wouldn't have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ in the last couple of years, right? I mean, God may have worked it out some other way, but he used this church. But the point is, I'd have said no. If my pastor, one person, if he would have said no, I'd have just been like, no, I'm just not going through that door. Because for some reason, I just don't trust my heart. Maybe my heart wants to go up there. When I was in Bible college, my first year of Bible college, I had been dating a girl from high school and into college, and I've told you the story. We've been dating for 2 years. I was ready to put a ring on her finger. She was in Bible college. She's a good girl. I was a good guy. Well, I wasn't that good, but she was good. And I talked, and one night, it was after prayer meeting, Wednesday night, I was just talking to my pastor, and he said, you know, I've been meaning to tell you. And it's like, yeah? What? What have you been meaning to tell me? I just don't think this girl's for you. We've been dating for 2 years, guys. I was ready to propose to her. All right? 2 years. Really? He said, yeah, I just don't feel it's right. Okay. So it was on a Wednesday night, about 10 o'clock at night. I talked to him, and he said, I just, you do whatever you want. I just don't think she's the one for you. Okay? So that next morning, 8 o'clock in the morning, when school started, I went up and I broke up with her after 2.5 years. And we had that conversation. I remember, just, why are we breaking up? I don't know. It's just that I sought counsel on this relationship, and I was told it's probably just not the best thing for you or for me. You're a good person. Nothing wrong with you. Nothing wrong with me. But my pastor just doesn't think it's right. Okay. Now, that girl, to this day, is still involved in a great church. She's actively involved and married, still married, great family. They're supercharged, super involved with Jesus Christ. It's wonderful. The difference now that I look back at it 30-something years later, I wouldn't have been here. She didn't have the calling to go start a church somewhere. When I was 18, 19, 20 years old, 19 years old, when I broke up with her, I never would have guessed I was going to come to Wisconsin. Right? There's no way. I mean, being a pastor was the last thing on my list. But somehow, God had worked through my pastor to say, you know what? She's not the girl because she probably won't go to Wisconsin. She wouldn't have. Had I married her, I know exactly what I'd be doing. I'd have a nice job. I'd have nice cars. I'd have a nice house. She ended up making a lot of money. She's just kind of one of those people. And that'd have been great. Nothing would have been wrong with it. It's just that I wouldn't be here today. That's just the truth of it. And Amy wouldn't be here either. You don't care about me not being here, but you would definitely miss Amy not being here. I get it. But the point is this, is I don't just say, well, I prayed about it or I felt peace about it, okay? Be very cautious with that. Just get advice, get direction from the people that you know that are the most spiritual, and just go for it and get advice and then listen to it. So many times people get advice and then as soon as the office door closes, they head the other direction, all right? And guys, because remember this, you got to really be careful who you get advice from because not everyone has the same perspective on life that you should have. All right, I know Christians, let's say, Christians that are not pro-life. I may learn something from them, but I'm not going to make life-changing decisions from someone who's not pro-life. I'm just not, because their perspective is different than mine. They're Christians. They're absolutely Christians, but they're not pro-life. It's hard to believe, I know. I'd just be very careful about that. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. Let's look at this real quick. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto the word of God, whose faith follows. So what are you supposed to do? Follow their faith. And then look what the next 6 words are. Considering the end of their conversation. So the word conversation there is the word for lifestyle, let's say. It's the conversation, the way they live out their life. He says, be very careful. And those people you get advice from, you look at their lifestyle. You may learn something from them, but I wouldn't make life-changing decisions from them, okay? You may get something from them, but I'd just be very cautious. I'd be very cautious to take marriage advice from someone who can't stay married. I'd be like, well, I think I need to go get some marriage advice from someone whose marriage is working, okay? And that's not being mean, it's just being honest. Raising my kids. I'd be very cautious who I took advice from about raising my kids. I'd look at the conversation, look at their lifestyle. How did their kids turn out? Oh, well, their kids turned out pretty good. Well, I think I'll get some advice from them. I'd just be cautious about that. You may see someone who made a lot of mistakes and their kids didn't turn out really good. You may learn from them. Oh, well, okay, I learned something from them. But I'd be very cautious if there are other people that I took all my life-changing wisdom from or life-changing decisions from, and just be cautious. Consider their lifestyle, consider that their outcome of their life, and be careful who you're going to take advice from and how you're going to take it. Romans chapter 16, verse 17. Now I beseech. The word beseech there is the word beg. I'm begging you, Christian, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. Church, look at the next three words. Let's go back to the verse. I'm begging you, Christians, pay attention to those people that have caused division. They're contrary to the things that you know is right. Okay? And what's that word? Avoid them. Okay? I would carve this in stone. And put it on your dashboard of your car, put it in the locker at work, put it on your refrigerator. If there's someone in your life that you know that's contrary to the things that you've learned from this book, Paul's talking to the believers there, he's saying, I'm begging you, avoid them. Don't be influenced by them. Don't get input from them. Avoid them, because they will pull you down, okay? And it's interesting, he says, I beg you. I would just be careful, guys. I'd be careful about if there's someone that was negative about a church or had left a church for the wrong reason or was disgruntled about a church. I wouldn't be influenced by them. I wouldn't take input from them. I'd be so cautious. I'd follow that verse and I would just avoid them. Why? Because that's what's in the Bible. That's why. But they're nice people. I don't care. It says avoid them. Just avoid them. If you don't, you're going to pay a penalty for that. They're going to convince you to go through some door that God doesn't want you to go through. Why? Because it says it right here. They cause division and are contrary to the things that you've learned. Why would you take influence or advice from them? Don't do it, parents. Don't do it. Be extremely cautious about that. Just be very attentive to who it is that you're getting advice from, you're getting input from. They're saying this is an open door. Well, it's an open door. Be cautious. Be very, very cautious, okay? The devil can use people to open up doors, too, that can pull you out of this church. All right? Listen, I want you. Here's what I want. You know what my dream for all of you in this room are? My dream, my desire for all of you in this room, ready, is that you grow old at this church. That's what it is. I'd like to see all of you in rocking chairs, in wheelchairs at this church. Not me, but I want to see you. All right? I want you to stick your feet in the cement and stay here and grow old at this church and have your kids grow old at this church and have your grandkids grow old at this church. I want to see a heritage happen. When I go back to my parent church, there's three or four generations of people. Why? Because they've been cautious about who they got advice from, and they stuck it out. And people that were contrary to the church, people that didn't give good advice in the church, they followed Paul's advice, they're inspired by the Holy Spirit, and they avoided those people, and they're still in church to this day. That's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful thing. Don't get advice from people that go from church to church to church. Don't be influenced by them, because there's a reason. There's a reason. There's a reason. They're divisive and they're contrary to the things that you've learned, and that's why they can't stay in a church. Why would you take input from them? Don't. Just don't do it. Right? Be cautious who you get input from. Be cautious who you get advice from. And let God use people in your life through counsel to show you if that door is opened by Him or closed by Him, or maybe it's something, a door you shouldn't go through. And then we all can live life happily ever after because we're just trying to follow God's principles, right? And we're not getting sidetracked. We're not getting astray. And we're trying to stick. We're not just opening doors on random. But God, if that's a door you want me to go through, you got to make sure it's clear.
We are very interested in you and your spiritual growth. If you want to contact Dayspring for prayer or more information, you can reach us at 262-404-5092 or on the web at dayspringbaptist.com. Thanks for listening.